الحمد لله وكفى، سلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. We've been covering a dua of the Prophet for the last several gatherings, and if you've been following, we sort of noticed that the Prophet in this very unique dua, he's asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this variety of things from so many different spheres of life. That and in a way that perhaps you and I wouldn't really ask for. So not only is he asking from Allah so that he receives it, but he's also asking Allah so that we can learn this dua. But then he's also asking from Allah Ta'ala so that we can see the types of things that are important to focus on. So we know that he had asked from Allah Ta'ala that he make him moderate in spending. He asked from Allah Ta'ala that he make his private and public the same. He asked from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala that he make his speech truthful. And so this next segment of the dua, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked, we'll focus on this today. Now, this is something that I think we all have maybe heard about, but I think it's a little bit, it's important for us to focus on because this is really critical. Not only to ask that Allah Ta'ala grant us this, but also to really focus our lives around this general principle. And so then the Prophet ﷺ asks, as Ammar radiallahu anhu narrates, the Prophet ﷺ asks, he says, وَأَسْأَلُكَ الرِّضَاءَ بِالْقَضَاءِ وَأَسْأَلُكَ الرِّضَاءَ بِالْقَضَاءِ. He says, O Allah, I ask from you contentment from what you have decreed, or contentment in what you have decreed. And this is incredibly powerful. This is incredibly powerful. Now, the reason it's so powerful is because you and I, we go through life often concerned, maybe overly concerned, in a good way, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being pleased with us, right? I mean, this is just our constant desire and dream that, oh Allah, be pleased with me, oh Allah, be happy with me, oh Allah, make me an obedient servant that can worship you the way you deserve to be worshipped. Oh Allah, you know, make me finally live my life in accordance with what's pleasing and makes you happy. So we're often highly concerned with if Allah is pleased with us, and that's important. And sometimes we don't then give attention to the opposite, which is, how pleased am I with Allah? How pleased am I with Allah? It's not something we put much attention to, right? And that's really important. And in the context of this dua, Prophet is saying, وَأَسْأَلُكَ الرِّضَاءَ بِالْقَضَاءِ. I'm seeking the ability to be content and pleased with whatever you have decreed for me. Be pleased and content with whatever you have decreed for me. Once the Prophet ﷺ, he was walking by a group of people and he asked them, what are you or who are you? He asked them, who are you? And the Sahaba radiallahu anhu responded, they said, we are believers. He said, we are believers. And then the Prophet ﷺ asked them, okay, well, what are your signs of faith? What are your signs of faith? And they said, they responded, that three things. Number one, we are patient with tribulation. We are patient with tribulation or trial. Number two, we are grateful for ease. We are grateful for ease. And number three, we are content with divine decree. And so the Prophet ﷺ responded to them and said that you are wise and knowledgeable. You have wisdom and you have knowledge. Now look at the response, right? They're saying we are believers, and what's a sign that we are believers? Number one is that when trial or difficulty comes our way, we are patient with it. We exhibit sabr during it. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is granting us ease, we are grateful during this. Because look, the reality is whatever Allah has decreed is for us on a personal level, or you can say on a communal level, is one of these two states. It's either that we're comfortable and we're living, you can say, with ease, physical, emotional, psychological ease, communal ease, or we're going through difficulty and tribulation and trial at an individual level, at a family level, or at a communal level. But both of these situations are fully decreed by Allah. Both of these situations are fully decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, the third sort of wrapping, you know, that brings this like, sort of the ribbon that they tie back on the package is, and we are content with divine decree. We're content with divine decree. And the Prophet was so pleased with this answer that he said, you are wise and you are knowledgeable. That is the mark of a real believer. It's that whatever comes to that person in their life, whatever challenge or whatever ease or whatever comfort comes in their life, they number one recognize that this is from Allah. This is absolutely from Allah. And then not only is it from Allah, because it's one thing to say that, look, everything that comes my way is from Allah. But then to then be able to say, right, firmly from the heart, that I am fully content with what you have decreed for me, that's a completely different state of iman, a different state altogether. And this is why in the Quran, when Allah Ta'ala describes the Sahaba, it's amazing. Look at the Sahaba. Their entire being was to serve the Prophet for the pleasure of Allah. Right? I mean, their every action, their every deed, their every whim, their every desire, their every moment was about worshiping Allah, pleasing Allah, serving Allah, striving for Allah. Constantly. This is all the. But look at the way the Quran describes them. It's not just, oh, Allah is now pleased with them. Because that would be sufficient for us to understand. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, these are companions. They gave their lives, they give their souls for the sake of the Prophet, for the sake of Allah. Allah is pleased with them. That should be their complete description. But the Quran doesn't stop at radiallahu anhum. It says, وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. And they also were pleased with him. They also were pleased with him. That's like 50% of the description of the Sahaba in the Quran, the summarized description of the Sahaba, 50% of it is that they were fully content with whatever Allah decreed. And this is what drove them. Look, it's one thing to strive for the sake of Allah because, you know, we want reward or for the sake of like Allah being pleased with us. But it's a lot easier to make sacrifices and to struggle in the path of Allah in whatever way, shape, or form that may be for us when it's because we have full trust in Him and His decree and we are pleased with Him. The game completely changes. The game of life completely changes. We're so caught up in how can I please Allah? How can I please Allah? How can I please Allah? It's like this action-reaction type scenario. But if the default setup is that I am pleased with Allah, and whatever Allah has decreed for me, both in ease and in tribulation, that's going to drive me toward the obedience and pleasure of Allah Ta'ala even more. Even more. Now, the underlying premise for all this is very interesting, because this whole idea of ridha bil qada, or understanding, being content with Allah's decree, this is an often discussed thing. And there's a discussion that comes in Imam Ghazali's book, Ihya Ulumuddin, and in the chapter on ridha bil qada, and the chapter of being content with divine decree, which is a very high state of iman, to be content with Allah's decree. So in this chapter, Imam Ghazali rahimahullah writes that there used to be a group of people who didn't think, believers, who didn't think it was possible to be content with Allah's decree, only patient with Allah's decree. They felt you could only exhibit sabr with Allah's decree, but you can't exhibit contentment, because contentment offers a sense of, you can say, happiness or pleasure as well with Allah's decree. And their belief system was that the max a human being can reach based off of their nature is that they could only reach a point where they could exhibit sabr with Allah's decree, especially when something difficult comes their way. But to then take it from sabr until ridha, which is contentment, very difficult to accomplish. They said that's completely against human nature, it's not possible. So then he writes, he explains, he said, but they're wrong, because it is possible to achieve ridha bil qada, which is contentment with Allah's decree, not just sabr and patience with Allah's decree. How? He says the underlying premise of all this, and it makes so much sense, the only way by which a person can truly achieve ridha bil qada, which is contentment with divine decree, is if the person has the love of Allah Ta'ala in their heart. If a person's overwhelmed by the love of Allah in their heart. Because if the love of Allah Ta'ala envelops a person's heart, now they're so blinded, or we become so, blinded, I mean this in a positive way, so blinded by, there's a being who loves me and cares about me more than anyone else, who wishes what's best for me, who desires what's best for me, who wants me to succeed and strive, who just genuinely has this love, as the Quran mentions, Allah's love for us. And vice versa. When a person really accepts this and is enveloped in this, and love is now the driving force that's contained within their heart, then they can fully achieve this state of rida bil qada. Then they can fully achieve this state. If you're operating on the principle of fear, 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 fear Allah, fear Allah, fear Allah, but it's possible, it's more likely that when some trouble comes your way, or when some difficulty comes our way, that we're the max level we're going to be able to achieve during that trial is going to be sabr. But once we have love for Allah in our hearts, once we have love which then sort of blooms or blossoms tawakkul and trust in the divine decree of Allah, then it becomes much easier to elevate from this rank of someone who has sabr with divine decree to someone who's content with divine decree. And he gives a few examples. He says there's different layers to this. The Quran is very clear. The one layer is that when a person has the love of Allah Ta'ala in their heart, they develop a trust for Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala's wisdom. And so now they begin to see the world in that way. When some difficulty comes their way, or some difficulty befalls the ummah, they now think in their mind that, you know what, because of the love that's in their heart, they appreciate that there's a wiser being behind all of this. There's a wiser being behind all of this. For example, in Surah Al-Kahf, if anyone's read, you know, sort of the second half of Surah Al-Kahf, when Musa alayhi salam interacts with Khidr alayhi salam, this entire half of the surah is basically Khidr alayhi salam teaching Musa alayhi salam what it means to be content with the decree of Allah, and what it means to accept the decree of Allah Ta'ala. Why? Because Allah is wiser than us. So when they poked holes in that ship, so that it would be poked holes in the ship that they were on with a bunch of poor people, and Musa alayhi salam asked Khidr alayhi salam, he said, why are you doing this? Why are you destroying their ship? These are like miskeen people. They don't have much. And Khidr alayhi salam says, you're not allowed to ask me any questions. He's basically saying, stop questioning Allah. He's telling us, we're learning, stop questioning Allah. There's a greater wisdom behind this that you will not understand. Now the Quran tells us this by telling Musa, you're not allowed to ask me any questions. So eventually, of course, we find out later that the reason that Khidr alayhi salam poked holes in that boat so that it could, like, is because further down the river, right, the Quran talks about this, further down the river there were these pirates, or you can say that were usurping ships from people that were in good shape. And as they go down the river and they see the ship that has holes and cracks in it that was formed by Khidr alayhi salam, the people looked at that ship and said, we don't want this, you guys keep going down the river. Right? So he's just the highlighting to us that we're so short-sighted, we only see the immediate effect of something, we don't see the potential benefit that's going to come 5 or 10 or 15 years down the road. I gave this example last time, that our sense of happiness and contentment is so limited in this world. And I'll just repeat the example, that there was a really interesting study that was done, and it looked at happiness scores of two groups of people. One group of people were people who were either tetraplegic or quadriplegic. They were paralyzed waist down. They became paralyzed waist down because of some spinal cord injury that happened. And the other group of people were people who won the lottery. And this was a large sample. And they measured their happiness score immediately when this event happened, meaning either for one person they had a spinal cord injury, they couldn't walk again, and then the other were people who won the lottery, right? Immediately after, and they measured their happiness scores. And they found there was a significant discrepancy. The people who became paraplegic or tetraplegic were, you know, much less happy, much less content than the group who won the lottery. And they followed these people out, and I forgot if it was 6 months or 1 year, I mentioned it last time. They measured their happiness scores again about 6 months later, and they found that their happiness scores were exactly the same after 6 months. Exactly the same after 6 months. It's incredible. I just think there's so much wisdom behind this because, I mean, you become paralyzed. In the moment, you're thinking, this is it. My life is done. When you win the lottery, what are you thinking? That I'm set for the rest of my life. I don't want anything more. I'm the happiest I could ever be, and this is what's going to be my state forever. Just 6 months later, things balance out. Meaning no matter what difficulty comes, and no matter what quote-unquote ease comes our way, in a matter of a few months, it often just resettles itself. We don't know the wisdoms behind why Allah Ta'ala does things, and sometimes when some difficulty comes our way, we're very short-sighted, and we only see the immediate loss, but we don't see the necessary benefits that come much later. So that's one layer of contentment, but that requires a level of love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hearts, to know that this Allah is wiser than I am. My Allah is more wise than I am. And when some difficulty comes my way, or comes the way of my family, toward my family, or toward the ummah, I know that there's something better in store because I have this love for my Creator. A second layer that he mentions is that some people, when they feel like the pain of a tribulation, and they dislike it, right? They exhibit patience through it, but they're content knowing that there's a reward that comes with it. And that's what drives their rida, their contentment. Meaning, what he's basically saying here is that, like, if some challenge comes my way, you know, I don't get the job that I want, or I lose a loved one, or I'm involved in a car accident, or something else very difficult happens, and I know in that moment I begin to think that, okay, I either have to exhibit patience, sabr, which is fine, acceptable, and rewarded, but the higher level, which is rida, which is contentment, and saying, this is from Allah, right? This is from Allah, and I'm fully content with what Allah has decreed for me. Now, what he's saying is that sometimes it's painful to go through that experience. There's a suffering involved. Someone loses a loved one, it hurts. Someone undergoes an injury they weren't expecting, it stinks. From the inside, it hurts. It bothers a person. But they're willing to go through that pain because they know the reward that comes with being content with Allah's decree. And that's what drives them through. Another, let me give you a simple example. You know, a dunyawi example. You know, in this day and age, if someone were to say that you have a tumor in your stomach, we need to take it out. You have a tumor in your stomach, and the surgeon says, we need to take it out. Now, that period of time where you're in the operating room, I mean, thank God there's anesthesia and things, but that period of time that you're in there, I mean, you are being manipulated, torn apart, pieces of your body are being taken out from you. It's extremely painful. Sometimes they do procedures, and you can't be fully sedated during it, and it hurts. Now, most patients are going to say, you know what? I'm willing to go through this because I know this short-lived period of pain is going to give me significant relief down the road. Significant relief down the road. This is the reason that human beings are willing to go through surgeries, go through operations, go through procedures. Sometimes we have to do procedures, in my own line of work, to treat people from their pain. Now, they could be thinking, well, I don't want these injections because it hurts. I don't ever deal with it. But someone who's wiser knows that, you know what, if I go through this period of difficulty, I'm going to get so much more relief down the road. And that makes me content with the situation. Otherwise, why would I ever go through it? Why would I ever be content with it? Now think about this in the context of our deen. SubhanAllah, if I go through this difficulty that Allah has given me, yes, I can be patient through it. But if I'm content with it, knowing that when I'm content with this difficulty and I'm willing to go through it, I know there is so much comfort coming my way as a consequence of me going through this trial. It makes it a lot easier to go through life in this way, right? The highest level of this, he says, and I know this is a bit academic, and I'm going to come to some take-homes to bring it all together. The highest level of this, subhanAllah, is very deep. He says, but the ultimate state of love for Allah is that you don't even feel the pain associated with difficulty and tribulation, because all you see is this came from Allah. I'm so pleased with what Allah gave me, I don't even feel the pain that comes with it. That's how content I am. That's a very high state. But this state exists even in this world. This is a kind of a graphic example, but let's just say that, you know, something, you know, a tree falls on a child and a parent, you know, sees that. What's the immediate response? It's to go and lift up that tree trunk, no matter what happens in the process. And many people that go through these sorts of experiences will then say, afterward, after, you know, lifting up a car off a child, or after, you know, some other extreme measure, they'll tear ligaments, they'll tear muscles. They won't feel any of it during that experience. Why? Because now, if they did it for some random person on the street and a tree happens to land on them, you know, midway through lifting that tree trunk, you're going to give up and say, you know what, I can't do this. Someone, you know, will wait for the authorities to come. I'm going to try my best, but this is hurting. For a child? There's no way, because someone's own child in particular, there's such a deep love that even the pain that comes from, like, significant injury, many parents later when you're interviewed will say, I didn't even feel it in that moment. The anesthetic was so strong. Why? Because it was driven by love for the child of that parent. And it makes parents do things that they wouldn't otherwise imagine for their children, right? I mean, you go, you have a child that's hospitalized, for instance, And they say, you know, the hospital says we got to keep you for a few days overnight. The hospital room is just not comfortable. There's no bed there. There's no, you know, there's no water available. The temperature is off. There's only a spot for your child to sit. Which parent's going to say, you know what, I need to get a, I'm going home. I'm going to get a good night's sleep, and I'll see you in the morning when you have a young child. You're going to say, no. For me, what's going to make me happy is going to sit and be with my child during all of this. I don't care if I have to stand up the entire night. Because that's love that's driving it. It's removing the pain that's experienced that otherwise most people would experience. So what he's saying is the ultimate love for Allah is that when a person's so fully in love or has a deep love for Allah in their heart, even when difficulty comes their way, they don't even see it as difficulty. They see this as a gift from their Lord and their Creator. And they're so pleased and content with it that they don't even experience the pain that comes with it. They just kind of go through life in that way. Now, that's a very high state, and I'm not, you know, it's not something that most of us are going to achieve. But I think the lesson from all this is that وَأَسْأَلُكَ الرِّضَاءَ بِالْقَضَاءَ, that we should ask from Allah Ta'ala the ability to be content with divine decree. But ultimately, that one is to ask from Allah, but ultimately that really is only going to happen. The ability to be content during trial and tribulation, etc., is only going to happen when we develop a deep love for Allah in our hearts. Because that love is going to generate trust in Allah. Look, the world is in a place right now, and this is so common today. It's so commonplace today that some difficulty befalls the ummah or a group of people or a single person, and people begin to question, how is this even possible? How is this even possible? And this is not just exclusive to one thing. I mean, anytime there's any tragedy that befalls a community, someone who passes away that otherwise we think shouldn't have passed away based off of their health, etc., someone develops a terminal illness that otherwise you'd be thinking, why would a 10-year-old child develop this terminal illness? The immediate thoughts and the words that come sometimes from people's hearts and from their tongue is the question of, how is this possible? Why did this happen? Why did Allah do this? Now, you may be thinking, that's an extreme statement. Who says that? I mean, we're living in a bubble. This is the minority. You think when like some difficulties befalling the ummah or some difficulties befalling people that were just like, oh yeah, no, this is from Allah, no problem, yuridha bil qada. Most people, Muslim and non-Muslim alike, when some difficulties befalling them, and sometimes it's us, we begin to question the decree of Allah or the decree of God in general. It's commonplace. It's commonplace. So many people begin to lose their iman because of this. Begin to lose their iman because of this. Because look, and that's just the reality of life. If we think that we are going to go through life sort of this rosy life where there's not going to be any ups and downs in life, and we're just going to be receiving comfort after comfort, I mean, we're kidding ourselves, right? Life is going to have its ups and downs. There's going to be times of comfort, there's going to be times of difficulty, and there's going to be times of extreme difficulty. Incredible difficulty, and every single person is going to have to experience this. But then the only people, the people who are really truly going to come out on the other end successful, not dwindling in their iman or leaving faith altogether, because believe it or not, this is what's happening in this day and age. The people that are who are going to come out on the other end successful are those who have a love for Allah Ta'ala in their heart, because that love for Allah is going to drive them toward contentment with Allah's decree. If I love Allah, then I know that Allah wants what's best for me, even if in this moment or in this year or in this month, it's tough. I know Allah wants what's best for me. I am fully content with whatever you have decreed for me, O my Lord. So it's really important that we take this on. Now, you know, I have to put this disclaimer in, because many times people say, well, you know, contentment with Allah's decree, do we just sit and wait for whatever Allah Ta'ala wants to come our way? Contentment with Allah's decree also means that I have to be content with the mechanisms that Allah Ta'ala has also put in place, right? According to solving matters. So for instance, you know, if some sickness befalls me and I just say that, you know what, I'm just going to let this take its course and not seek treatment, that's not true ridha bil qada. That's okay, that's an element of it. But then to then take that step of saying, well, the step that the Prophet ﷺ taught us and the step that's expected of me is to seek the treatment of Allah, it's also the love for the mechanism that Allah put in place for me to get out of difficulty. That whole picture is ridha with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That whole picture is contentment with Allah Ta'ala, not just when the calamity afflicts us. So the take home for today, this dua of the Prophet ﷺ, وَأَسْأَلُكَ الرِّضَاءَ بِالْقَضَىٰ. He asks from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the ability to be content with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with what Allah decrees. And the way by which we do so, number one, is that we have to fill our hearts with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we operate in this world, or we treat our iman in such a way, or our Islam in such a way, where it's just always built on fear or, you know, just punishment, and not filled with this notion that, you know what, I really have to, within my heart, love Allah, trust Allah, have tawakkul in Allah, it becomes very difficult to establish this rida bil qada. The second take home is that there's a very unique dua that the Prophet taught us that he would recite every morning and every evening three times. We've all heard this, but I think it ties in this really well. Because look, the reality is there's so many possibilities that I can experience in a day. Well, let me recite the dua. The Prophet said that whoever says this three times in the morning and three times in the evening, there's many benefits. One benefit is that Allah Ta'ala will be pleased with them on the Day of Judgment. And the dua is, رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ نَبِيًّا, or some variation of it. رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ نَبِيًّا صلى الله عليه وسلم. It's a very simple, it's not even a dua, it's a statement. It's not even a dua, we're not asking from Allah, we're making a statement. Why? Because we started the talk by mentioning, it's not always about, oh Allah, be pleased with me, or I ask you to be pleased with me. It's also about expressing our contentment with Allah. That's perhaps as important, or maybe even more important. So how are we doing this? The Prophet ﷺ says, say, رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا. In the morning, when you wake up in the morning, and before you go to bed at night, make that proclamation to Allah. Oh Allah, I am pleased with you as my Lord. I'm pleased with you. I don't want any other Lord. I don't want to worship any other thing. I don't want any other influencer to take over my life. I am fully pleased with you as my Lord. I wouldn't want anything. I wouldn't want any other way. وَبِالْ إِسْلَامِ دِينَ. And I am fully pleased with Islam, this way of life as my deen. وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ نَبِيًّا. And of all of the heroes in the world and all the celebrities and people that we can follow, people that can influence us, I'm telling you right now, oh Allah, I'm making this very clear to you and to myself that I'm fully pleased with your messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam as my leader and as my guide. I don't need anyone else. Now, the Prophet is saying to say this in the morning and say this in the evening. Think about it, because look, the day is going to be filled with all these ups and downs. There's all these different possibilities of comfort, difficulty, trial, tribulation, challenge, you know, reward, filled with it. But the Prophet is saying, رِضَاء بِالْقَضَاء, and true contentment with Allah is recognizing the very what appears to be the variable, which is all this fluctuation, that's actually the constant. That's going to come and go. What I always need to keep my eyes on is, in the morning when I wake up, do I still have Allah as my Lord? Do I still believe in the Prophet as his messenger? And do I still have Islam as the perfect way of life that I'm seeking? And when I go to bed at night, I have to reflect on the day and say, I don't know what happened. All these different things came my way. I tried this, I did that. All, you know, all of these trials came my way. All of these challenges came my way. Now that I'm going to bed at night, let me just reflect. Hold on. Those three constants that I woke up in the morning, that I proclaimed to my Lord, let me make sure I still have those three. Because as long as I have those three, it doesn't matter what I lost during the day. It doesn't matter what I gained during the day. These three things are the most important. I can never lose these three. Do I still have Allah as my Lord? Am I still pleased with Allah as my Lord? Yes. Check box number one. Am I still pleased with Islam as my deen? Yes, I am. Check box number two. Number three, am I still pleased with the Prophet as my prophet? I am? Good. Check box number three. No matter what happened earlier in the day, no matter what's going to happen tonight before I go to bed, I'm pleased with you, Ya Rab. I'm pleased with what you have given me. I'm pleased with whatever you have decreed. I'm proclaiming this, I'm exclaiming this, and this is, in this lies my success. In this lies my success. So, we should also make this dua. It's very simple. Prophet said, وَأَسْأَلُكَ الرِّضَىٰ بِالْقَضَىٰ. You can say it in English as well. Oh Allah, I ask from you the ability, I'm saying ability, that's not the literal translation, but this is what he's asking. I ask from you the ability to be content with whatever you have decreed for me. Whether it apparently seems to be good for me, whether it apparently seems to be difficult for me, let me not just be patient through it, but let me be content with it, because I know that whatever you give me, ultimately, whatever you give me is just a gift anyway. Whatever you give me is just a gift anyway. This is a very high state of iman, But it's something that can be achievable. So we ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to be content with what He's decreed for us. We ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow within our hearts for there to be a deep tawakkul and trust and love for Him, so that we can really exemplify this contentment. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to make this dua of the Prophet regularly in our daily life as well. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.